live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akila Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the rollout of high-speed broadband to over 34,000 premises in Donegal has moved one step closer, according to National Broadband Ireland. A major shake-up of how Garda Síochána is managed at divisional and regional level could result in the Donegal division no longer being standalone. A Donegal man has been charged in Australia with dangerous driving, causing grievous bodily harm after two men were seriously injured in a weekend crash. And residents in Sion Mills continue to pick up the pieces today after extreme disorder in the village last night. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, the rollout of high-speed broadband to over 34,000 premises in Donegal has moved one step closer, according to National Broadband Ireland, the company which will roll out the National Broadband Plan. Chief Executive Peter Hendricks says Donegal will receive an investment of €135 million to provide fibre broadband to 34,107 homes. In total, he says 33% of all premises in Donegal will be passed and eligible for connection. Once the contract is closed, Mr. Hendricks says the first homes could be passed and connected by early autumn next year.
We're spending a significant amount of time at the moment with the Department of Communications closing out the contract, and the expectation is that we would conclude the contract between now and September, late September. And as we move on beyond September, you'll start to see teams of people out there doing surveys, planning, and then starting commencement of construction of the project. We absolutely expect by autumn of next year that we will be passing homes with full fibre connectivity.
If things go according to your own planned timetable, when would you envisage the full delivery of broadband to the 33% of premises in Donegal to which you've referred?
I suppose we look at this project as a significant project, and obviously we want to deliver to every county in the country at the same time. There's two phases to it. The initial one we're looking at is creating digital hubs in every county in the first 12 months. So starting from contract signing, we will start announcing locations across Donegal that will receive digital community points where people can come and remote work, hot desk, effectively in certain regions. And some of those regions we're looking at or we're currently considering would be the likes of Derrybeg, Glenveagh, Milford, Kilcar, Tory Island, amongst others. So effectively, we will be out in Donegal in the first year with high-speed broadband in those regions. But the longer-term project, we will share the rollout schedule of every one of those 34,000 homes, businesses and farms as soon as we sign the contract.
A major shake-up of how Garda Síochána is managed at divisional and regional level could result in the Donegal division no longer being standalone. The proposed changes, if given the go-ahead, will see most local Garda divisions double in size. This has led to concerns that Donegal will become part of an extended Northwest division, which also includes Sligo and Leitrim, with speculation that in that event, Donegal will lose its chief superintendent, with that post based in Sligo. On this morning's 9 to noon show, AGSI General Secretary John Jacobs agreed that would be a concern, but stressed Donegal's unique situation cannot be overlooked.
The Garda Commissioner is going to make a decision as to where the divisional headquarters will be, but he has to be conscious of the fact that Donegal is a border division and it has different needs to other divisions, and that has to be factored into his equation when he is determining where to put the senior executive team. I can understand the public's concern about where the management team will be. Management, to a large degree, are locally focused. So if the divisional headquarters is in Sligo, there may be a demand from Sligo for the chief in that area to focus his resources there. Unless this model is effectively resourced, there will be problems when it is rolled out, and those problems, if they're not addressed immediately, could then manifest themselves in public disquiet.
Say, for instance, a situation arose in Sligo. It could be a turf war, it could be anything like that there. Under this new system, theoretically, the chief based in Sligo would be able to draw resources then more widely into that area. So you could say, right, Donegal Town, instead of having, I don't know, let's say three Gardaí, for example, you'll have to do with one because we need to take two in to deal with this issue in Sligo. Is that a real world scenario, albeit worst case scenario?
I said that would be a worst case scenario. The reality of it is the policing demands in Donegal won't reduce just because there's a new organisation structure. And management cannot be local in their deployment of resources. They have to accommodate all areas, and they must keep that in mind when they're assessing where their people are to be deployed.
Meanwhile, Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty says he'll be seeking clarification from the Garda Commissioner on what changes to the organisation might mean. He's particularly anxious that any change does not impact on the quality of policing in the county.
What this means for policing on the ground and the availability of key police personnel to, for example, the Joint Policing Council, and also the availability to them to respond to the unique needs of Donegal in particular, given our proximity to the border and also the likelihood of a no-deal Brexit. I'm not sure that this type of restructure is what is needed at this point in time, and I'm looking for those reassurances that this will not mean a diminution of Garda resources or Garda presence or interest as a result of the changes that are being proposed.
And there is speculation, as you touched on there, the Chief Superintendent, bigger workload, quite possible that he or she may be based in Sligo, which could only mean a demotion for Donegal.
Without a doubt, at this point in time, we have our own division, it's the Donegal division, the idea that it would be joining with two other counties. And while, you know, I'm not opposed to rationalisation and to better efficiency and on all of the rest, the reality is the Chief Superintendent needs to know the unique circumstances that exist here in terms of policing. From Donegal, we're a county with a large border, we're a county with many challenges, we're a county with offshore islands and all of the rest, but we're also a county that expects to have access to those senior level in Garda Síochána. And always when you increase the workload or the area that they will be covering, then that capacity and that access will be limited, and that's where we would be very concerned of. We were told in the past, for example, when the Glenties headquarters were changed, that, you know, everything would remain the same, but the reality is things have changed.
The Democratic Unionist Party has given a sarcastic response to the suggestion Boris Johnson was their gopher. The Tories currently get support from the DUP in the British Parliament. That's prompted accusations of bias, especially as both parties met for dinner last night in Belfast. Sinn Féin thinks Brexit could trigger a referendum of Irish reunification. The DUP strongly rejects that. Leader Arlene Foster was upset after Sinn Féin accused the British Prime Minister of not being impartial.
We've seen the hysterical reaction to the fact that we actually had dinner with the Prime Minister last night. My goodness, what a shocking thing to happen in a place where we have a confidence and supply agreement with the Conservative Party. They need to calm down.
Meanwhile, in its latest Brexit sentiment survey, AIB Bank says Donegal SMEs in manufacturing, tourism, transport and fishing sectors are reassessing their investment plans. Emma Rose Callaghan has more.
AIB's Brexit advisor for Donegal, Paul Rogers, says Donegal businesses are reassessing their investment plans. The percentage of small businesses in the Republic of Ireland being negatively affected by the economic and political uncertainty of Brexit has doubled from 21% to 42%. In the past year. Given Donegal's location and the border with Northern Ireland, concerns are heightening across all sectors, with Brexit already having an impact on the currency exchange. Retailers and hoteliers, meanwhile, say they have noticed a decline in visitors from Northern Ireland and UK spenders in 2019. The underlying concerns of cost of sales, working and capital requirements are already being negatively impacted, as well as investment and recruitment plans. While just 1% of small businesses in the Republic of Ireland have let staff go, it is predicted that this figure will rise.
A Donegal man has been charged in Australia with dangerous driving, causing grievous bodily harm after two men were seriously injured in a weekend crash. 22-year-old Terence Wilkinson from Dunfanaghy appeared in court after being arrested while on board a plane at Sydney Airport back to Dublin on Monday. A second man is still being sought. Sarah Navin is a reporter with Prime 7 in Sydney. Earlier this morning, she spoke to Greg Hughes on the 9 till noon show.
It was about 9 p.m. on Monday night. He was arrested on board a flight bound for Dublin at Sydney Airport, and police told us that the aircraft was already taxiing on the runway and had to be turned around. So he was very much about about to fly out of Australia. So police will allege that he was the driver of the car, and he's been charged with a string of offences, including negligent and dangerous driving and failing to stop and assist after causing grievous bodily harm and the injuries that the other two sustained. So he appeared in court yesterday and was granted conditional bail, so he's not locked up, but he will next appear in court on August 15th here in Sydney.
The second person alleged to have fled the vehicle, police actively seeking that person too, presumably?
That's right. So as far as I know, the latest information we have is that the fourth person in the vehicle is still on the run, and they would be trying to piece together information from neighbours who may have witnessed them leave the scene, or anyone who may be an associate of this group, to try and track him down as well. So I can imagine police from the Metropolitan Crash Investigation Unit would be hot on the case, and hopefully there'll be a development on that soon.
Dynamo says this month saw more people awaiting inpatient beds in Irish hospitals than any previous July. Nationally, the figure rose by 33%. However, at Letterkenny University Hospital, the numbers fell by 11%. Meanwhile, after management expressed concern at the volume of patients attending the emergency department in Letterkenny this week, today saw a rise in the number awaiting beds. Catherine Gaffney has more.
There were 27 people awaiting inpatient beds at Letterkenny University Hospital this morning, six of them on emergency department trolleys. That figure is up four on yesterday. Nationally, the INMO says there were 476 admitted patients awaiting beds in Irish hospitals this morning, the largest number 64 at University Hospital Limerick. Meanwhile, the INMO says this month was the worst ever July for emergency department overcrowding. However, that's not been replicated in Letterkenny. The INMO says 9,439 patients at hospitals across the country were forced to wait on inpatient beds, up 33% compared to the same period last year. At Letterkenny University Hospital, the July total was 398, a decrease of 11% compared to July of last year.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, with a great selection of adults and children's Donegal GAA jerseys. Shop online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 14 minutes past five and time for the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with Gaelic games, and James Horan has been handed a fitness boost ahead of their must-win game in the Super 8s to book their place in the semi-finals. They welcome Donegal to Castlebar on Saturday evening. Keith Higgins and Paddy Durkin are both in line to return from injury, while captain Dermot O'Connor has moved a step closer to recovering from a fractured wrist. However, his inclusion is unlikely. Meanwhile, the Donegal manager Declan Boner, he's expecting a real battle in McHale Park on Saturday evening when they go there to play Mayo, as both sides, as I say, are looking to book their place in the All-Ireland semi-final. A draw will do Donegal, while Mayo, they need to win, but Donegal know they'll have to bring their best as they take on the Connacht side. Boner revealed that he's hopeful of having a full squad to select from this weekend, with the exception of Owen Ban-Gallagher, who's been ruled out for the rest of the season, and possibly, as you might have heard today, some reports suggesting Patrick McBurdy might be a doubt. But the Donegal manager hopes that they'll have the usual great support.
It's 50-50. Mayo are in their home patch. They're going to have a big Mayo following, and you know, Donegal have been travelling well over the last number of months in terms of numbers, and been brilliant. You know, the support we got, especially when you look at it, when we were under pressure against Meade and Balbuffet, was phenomenal. The support was right behind him, and the same against Kerry and Croke Park last Sunday week was brilliant. And we'll need that going into McHale Park. We need a strong, vocal Donegal support carrying plenty of colour going in, because it's going to be a really cauldron in McHale Park on Saturday evening.
Yeah. And it is backs to the wall for both teams, but especially for them on their home patch.
Yeah, it is. There's no doubt. It's exactly, yeah. But it's a match. I mean, where else, Tom, would you want to be? This is the business end of the season. We're in a position where we're 75 minutes as our Mayo from an All-Ireland semi-final. This is where all the hard work all winter has gone in. The National League is over and done and dusted. The Provincial Championships are done and dusted. We're into the last round of the Super 8s, and this is the real business end now. And, you know, we're 75 minutes of getting to a last four, and that's going to take a huge, huge effort. But, you know, it's well within the group.
Donegal manager Declan Bonner there speaking to Tom Comack ahead of Saturday evening's big clash between Mayo and Donegal. Elsewhere in Gaelic games, John Myler has stepped down as Cork senior hurling manager after 2 years in charge. Under his stewardship, Cork were crowned Munster champions in 2018, but they lost to Tipperary and Clare in this year's Munster round robin. Myler's final game in charge of Cork was a 227-318 loss to Kilkenny in the All-Ireland hurling quarter-finals. Moving on to horse racing, and the Galway Plate is the feature on day three of the Galway Festival. Dennis Kerwin reports.
Gordon Elliott has won the Tote.com Galway Plate for two of the past 3 years, and he has a strong hand in this year's renewal, with five runners headed by two of the market principals, Boris and Mengli Khan. Boris has won his last two starts over the smaller obstacles by a wide margin, while Mengli Khan has been running in graded company and is the classiest horse in the race. Henry de Bromhead has won two of the last four Galway Plates, and he has an excellent chance of making it three out of five with Heron Heights, whose last outing was an impressive victory in a competitive handicap at the Punchestown Festival. Paul Nichols won this race in 2008 with Ozlot. He saddles the top weight, Black Corton, the mount of top young jockey, Bryony Frost, who's making her first appearance at the Galway Races. At the 2019 Galway Races with Ladbrokes.com, I'm Dennis Kerwin.
Elsewhere today, Frankie Dettori has won his 11th Group 1 of 2019. He was aboard Evans' favourite, Too Darn Hot, and winning the Sussex Stakes at Glorious Goodwood. Moving on to soccer, and Dundalk have made one change to their side for this evening's Champions League second qualifying round, second leg away to Quarterbag. Now, the Lilywhites have switched to a three-man defence with Daniel Cleary coming into the side in place of the injured Robbie Benson. The sides are tied at a goal apiece ahead of this evening's game in Baku, a meeting with Apoel Nicosia, and a guaranteed €1.7 million in money is up for grabs. Kick-off at the Dalga Stadium is very shortly at 6 o'clock. Elsewhere, Graham Burke has returned to Shamrock Rovers on a 12-month loan from Preston. The Republic of Ireland international failed to make much impact at the Championship side following his move from Rovers. He was loaned to Gillingham last term. Burke is unavailable for the Hoops Europa League qualifier second leg away to Apollon Limassol tomorrow night. And another transfer news, it's one in and one out for Cork City. Owen Stokes has joined the Lee Siders after his departure from Derry City, and defender Gary Bolan has had his contract terminated by mutual agreement. Cross-channel Liverpool trio Virgil van Dijk, Sadio Mane and Mohamed Salah, and Tottenham's Harry Kane are in the running for the men's prize in the Best FIFA Football Awards. Former Chelsea midfielder Eden Hazard is also on the 10-strong list that includes Juventus' Cristiano Ronaldo and Barcelona's Lionel Messi, and England's Lucy Bronze and Ellen White, their contenders in the women's category. In boxing, Dillian White's promoters had out at the WBC after they suspended the heavyweight boxer. They're launching an investigation into an adverse finding in a drugs test prior to his recent bout against Oscar Rivas. Eddie Hearn is adamant that White was cleared to fight by both UKAD and the British Boxing Board of Control. Finally, for this evening, the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure 5th Birthday 5K takes place this evening. Registration is starting from about 6 o'clock at the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Station roundabout here in Letterkenny, with the race getting underway at 7:30. The entry fee for that is €8. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, residents in Sion Mills continue to pick up the pieces today after extreme disorder in the village last night. A man in his 30s was injured as he tried to intervene after a group of youths went on a sustained rampage, barricading roads and throwing paving blocks and other items onto the main road and passing vehicles, including a police car. Police say inquiries into the disturbance and reported assaults are ongoing. West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossan has condemned the events of last night. He says, however, the slow response from the PSNI was unacceptable.
People say Mills are in a state of shock today, and what they witnessed last night was nothing short of wanton vandalism. A group of youths running freely across a very well-built up residential area where a community is very much connected and united. And today they're united again in absolute shock and horror and condemnation of the events that they had witnessed in the early hours of this morning. It's only the consequence of very quick action by local residents and indeed the local community representative, Ben Andy Patton, that finally the police were contacted and also the things eventually calmed down. But it took some time to do that. It took some time for the police to arrive, and it was thankfully to the residents and to the wider community that this came to an end last night. There was someone injured as a result of it. There was roads barricaded and blocked, and there was a lot of young people who were intoxicated roaming around this very well-built-up area and causing all sorts of disruption and disturbance to elderly residents and families in particular.
And indeed, CCTV footage has captured those involved. So are you hopeful that these will be brought before the courts?
There's a process of evidence gathering today. I met with the PSNI a week ago, and I said to the PSNI that there needs to be a very clear message sent out throughout the wider Strabane area that this antisocial behaviour and this sort of approach to the community is absolutely unacceptable, and there will be consequences for the actions of those who break the law and cause these sorts of disruptions to community life. And I'll be contacting the police again, airing my deep frustration at the response or the lack of last night in relation to this, where a community was left almost terrorised by a group of people allowed to do this, intoxicated. So we need to do something very radically about this very, very quickly. People don't want this. People don't deserve it. And there's young people that need to understand that this is their own community that they're causing difficulty in. And they're also maybe not realising what they're doing because they're under the influence of alcohol. This is not acceptable. And I hope today they're reflecting that very quickly.
And finally, Ryanair says it expects around 900 staff will be impacted by planned job cuts. The airline says it's because of Brexit uncertainty and the grounding of the Boeing 737 MAX after two fatal crashes. Stephen Murphy has this report.
I'm sorry, and I apologise sincerely to all of you for this bad news and any uncertainty it'll cause you over the coming weeks.
An apologetic Michael O'Leary in a video sent to staff telling them about these planned job cuts, which he says are unavoidable.
We already have a surplus of over 500 pilots and some 400 cabin crew.
He's explained why so many workers are at risk of losing their jobs.
It's being driven by the MAX delivery delays and the threat of a no-deal Brexit, which are clearly huge and very uncertain challenges.
Marina Efthimiou is a professor in aviation management at GCU. She says the grounding of the 737 MAX planes have been bad for business.
Ryanair had planned for a huge expansion based on the delivery of those aircraft, and the constant postponing of the delivery of the aircraft has put a lot of uncertainty.
These cuts are due to start taking effect ahead of Ryanair's winter schedule kicking in. It's not known at this stage how many of its Irish workers will be affected. Overall, it's been a challenging week for the airline, which announced earlier in the week that profits have fallen by 21%.
Weather now dry in most areas this evening with some bright or sunny spells. There will be a few isolated showers. Dry tonight with variable cloud and clear spells. A few mist patches forming in the light northwest or variable breezes with lowest temperatures of 9 to 11 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the rollout of high-speed broadband to over 34,000 premises in Donegal has moved one step closer, according to National Broadband Ireland, the company which will roll out the National Broadband Plan. Chief Executive Peter Hendricks says Donegal will receive an investment of €135 million to provide fibre broadband to 34,107 homes. A major shake-up of High and Garda Síochána is managed at divisional and regional level could result in the Donegal division no longer being standalone. The proposed changes, if given the go-ahead, will see most local Garda divisions double in size. A Donegal man has been charged in Australia with dangerous driving, causing grievous bodily harm after two men were seriously injured in a weekend crash. 22-year-old Terence Wilkinson from Dunfanaghy appeared in court after being arrested while on board a plane at Sydney Airport back to Dublin on Monday. And the INMO says this month saw more people awaiting inpatient beds in Irish hospitals than any previous July. Nationally, the figure rose by 33%. However, at Letterkenny University Hospital, the numbers fell by 11%. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 31st of July. The death has occurred of Kathleen McKinney, Home Cottage, Cockhill Road, Buncrana. Her remains will repose at her residence from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Saturday morning, leaving at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Cockhill, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Nellie Barr, née McBride, 2 Mount Carmel View, Ballycommon, Strabane. Her remains will repose at her home from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Alzheimer's Society, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11pm to 11am. The death has taken place of Nora Duncan, née Hunter, 10, Coal Hill, Newton Cunningham. Her remains will repose at her residence from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral service there on Friday afternoon at 1:30, with burial afterwards in the family plot at Rye Presbyterian Church, Manor Cunningham. Family time, please, from 11pm to 11am. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to chest, heart and stroke, care of any family member or Gibson Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Muriel Jackman, née McIntyre, Crora, Cooldaff. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Friday afternoon at 1:30 for funeral service at 2 o'clock in St. Bowden's Church of Ireland, Cooldaff, followed by burial in the adjoining burial ground. Family time, please, from 10pm to 11am and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Marie Curie, Northern Ireland, care of Liam Collins, Funeral Director, or any family member. The death has taken place of Mary McCauley, née Holmes, Drumahill, Manor Cunningham. Mary's remains are reposing at her home. Funeral Mass on Friday morning at St. Columbus Church, Drumahill, at 11 o'clock, followed by private cremation. Family time, please, from 10pm to 11am and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Jim Doherty, Briney, Clunshe, Clonmany. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:20 to St. Mary's Church, Clonmany, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Cancer Care, care of Comiskey Funeral Directors. House private, please, from 10pm to 10am. And the death has taken place of Tony Carlin, Gorton S. Clohan. Tony's remains are reposing at the family home. Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning in Our Lady of Perpetual Succour Church, Glenfinn, followed by burial in Kilwira Cemetery. House private, please. Family, neighbours and friends from Glenfinn GAA Club welcome. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Pieta House, Letterkenny, care of any family member.